Press Law Center podcast, a monthly rundown of news about legal developments affecting the student media. The Student Press Law Center is a nonprofit source of information and advocacy for the student media, and we work to break down the barriers that prevent college and high school journalists from doing their best work. For more information about the center, go to www.splc.org. I'm Frank Lomonti, Executive Director of the Student Press Law Center. Thanks for joining us. Education is big business in America. $970 billion is spent each year in this country on schools and colleges, about one-third more than we spend on national defense. We sometimes forget that public schools are the government, and like all government agencies, they're not immune from the excesses and irregularities in spending for which the Pentagon has become famous. When you think about the range of purchases that school districts have to make every year, everything from architectural services to canned tomatoes, it's perhaps not surprising that school officials and the taxpayers can get outsmarted and taken for a ride. As a journalist, when you see huge sums of money being spent by small-time elected officials and people who are trained in education and not in business management, your curiosity switch should be in the on position. Well, reporter Tracy Lowe of the Statesman Journal in Salem, Oregon, did activate her curiosity, and with the support of her paper, she was able to spend nearly a year and a half digging into the operations of the Willamette Educational Service District, one of 20 districts serving Oregon's public school students. What she found was evidence that for many years, sloppy contracting practices and lax oversight had become a way of life in the Willamette District, allowing for some questionable deals benefiting school district insiders. For her exhaustive investigative work, Tracy Lowe has spent 2011 picking up just about every journalism award you can think of, including first prize in the Education Writers Association investigative category, the first place in the SPJ's Regional Mark of Excellence Award, the Scripps Howard National Award for Community Service Journalism, and many, many more. In addition to her work for the Statesman Journal, Tracy is the Oregon correspondent for USA Today, and she holds degrees in journalism and in business from Oregon State University. Tracy Lowe is with us on the SPLC podcast to talk about how she built the trail of records that led her to her award-winning series, and thank you for being with us. Can you start us off, Tracy, by explaining where the idea for the project came from, and was it always conceived on this scale, consuming almost a year and a half of your life, or was it something that snowballed while you were working on it?
Sure. Well, the project officially started in mid-2009 when I started hearing rumors about several whistleblower claims in the works at the ESD. But I guess it really started about 6 years before that when I started on the education beat. You know how it is when you're covering a busy beat. There are a lot of things you notice that just don't seem right but don't really rise to the level of a story that day. So you file them away and keep doing a little research when you can. By the time we wrote about the whistleblower claims in 2009, I had a whole box of documents and research and a strong suspicion that the whistleblowers' claims were correct and that maybe there was even more to uncover. When the whistleblower story ran in 2009, I got a call from the former superintendent of a neighboring ESD who had been doing the same thing as me. He gave me his box of documents, and those, even more than my documents, showed possible insider dealing and lax compliance with contracting and other rules. So that's when we decided to launch our own investigation and to try to connect all the players and deals at once. We had previously reported on some isolated scandals, like the board buying a departing superintendent an SUV while it was cutting jobs, or the subsequent superintendent firing an administrator for gross malfeasance and then hiring her back on a contract at the same salary. But we had never tried to tie everything together or looked at all those smaller things that sort of together added up to something big.
So once you started following that trail, give some highlights of what your reporting found. I should mention that the entire series, which is called WESD's Web of Deals, is online at the Statesman Journal website, www.statesmanjournal.com. But just hit some of the highlights of what your digging uncovered.
Sure. Well, I should probably first explain that Willamette ESD isn't a school district. It's a regional education service agency, which provides centralized services like special ed or business services to local school districts. So not all states have these, and every state operates them differently, but they're usually sort of behind the scenes. Nobody pays much attention to them. There's not much oversight. So when we started looking at it, we found administrators hiring friends and relatives, awarding no-bid contracts, property deals that appeared to benefit board members, administrators, their friends, rather than taxpayers, business ventures that were supposed to be self-supporting or make money that could be spent on kids, but were actually losing money. Those also appeared to benefit insiders, unrestrained spending on meals and travel by administrators and the board, and that was all in addition to our continuing reporting on district and state audits that started coming out, finding things like administrators moving money around without informing the board, keeping a secret slush fund, and covering up program losses. So it was a big mess.
Wow. Yeah. Well, for people who are just listening to this and don't have your website in front of them, can you explain a little bit? One of the really neat things is how the paper graphically presented your findings. And this is when we're talking about government procurement, that's a potentially pretty dense and not terribly exciting subject, but you managed to make it really accessible in your method of presentation. So maybe you can talk a little bit about that.
Sure. In print, the story ran 8 full pages. So to break it up, I wrote it in chapters, which could be read on their own. And when you went online, you could jump to the chapter you are interested in. All 300 source documents are linked directly within the text of the story, or you can look at a list of documents sorted by chapter. There's an interactive timeline, and then the highlight of the presentation, I think, was an online web of connections, which is sort of a wheel network diagram that allows you to click on a person or an entity and see all the connections. It also will pop up all the documents connected with that entity, and it gives you a short description of what they are. So I think that's what really drew people in and sort of made them engage with the story.
I think that's great, and also one of the things that I thought you guys did tremendously well was as the narrative is going along, you've got the original source documents embedded and sprinkled throughout the story so that when you reference a key memo or a key contract, there it is, and so the person who has any kind of more detailed questions or just maybe wants to verify the authenticity of what you're saying can go right to the original document.
Yeah, I have to tell you, it took me a whole week to scan all those in, upload them.
I'm not surprising. Well, talk a little bit about, you know, and particularly in dealing with education agencies, sometimes you run into some privacy considerations, things that you don't run into with other government agencies. Can you give some examples of some obstacles or surprises that you encountered while you were digging and how you managed to deal with those?
Yeah, I didn't really have any privacy obstacles because I wasn't really talking about students. I was talking more about the business operations of the district. But still, I filed probably 36 public records requests, which sounds like a lot, but most of them were really straightforward, things I would have gotten from another school district pretty easily. And I was amazed at all the obstacles the district threw up, like denials that records existed or wildly inflated estimates of how hard it would be to provide them. One example, they quoted me $385 for 16 hours worth of work to assemble and copy credit card statements. And I think, you know, for students, I think you really have to be persistent and question those costs and find other ways of figuring out what they have and what format and where they are. So in that case, I called a background source I had in the district's business office to ask off the record if that charge sounded reasonable. She told me that all of the statements were in a single file in a particular easily accessible file cabinet and would take about 2 minutes to copy. So without naming that source, I suggested they check there and immediately got the records free of charge. So
great. That's a great example. Yeah. Well, let's say that person listening is a student reporter, has got a tip like this about an agency in their area, and wants to undertake this kind of investigation, wants to look for some of these insider deals, no bid contracts, some of the other irregularities that you found. How do you go about getting started? And I guess maybe first of all, when you're dealing with something that this document intensive, and any tips about managing the document heavy investigation?
Well, first, just getting started, I'd say cast a really wide net and request all of the sort of standard documents that you'd want to know about the agency, more than you think that you'll need. Talk in general to a variety of sources and then narrow down what you're going to focus on. That was the hardest part for me because there was so much, but without a sort of a broad overview of everything, I couldn't do that. As far as actual organization, I can't say enough good things about all the new tools that we have, particularly Document Cloud, which is free to news organizations. I was able to scan all my documents and annotate them with that service, and then in addition to having it be a way that readers could look at it, it helped with my reporting. So when I was writing, if I needed to check a date or a dollar amount, I could just enter the search term and get taken to the right page rather than digging through all my stacks of documents. And then I also used social network analysis software to sort of help me visualize the connections. I knew a lot of the connections, but some of the more secondary ones I didn't see until I mapped it out with that software.
Oh, that's very interesting. I can you maybe elaborate on that a little bit? Like, for instance, there was a program that would allow you to see is Joe connected through LinkedIn to Mary or something like that?
Well, sure. There are a variety of programs. And for one example, like I knew that a board member's brother managed a property deal. I had that in my story. But until I put it on the map, I didn't realize that the brother's son-in-law was the owner of the property. A couple like online, you can use Many Eyes. That's free. The problem with that is that it's not private. There's a free download for Excel that you can use, and then some programs that you can purchase too.
So it really did turn out to be a web of connections, and the web was something that was helping you as you went along, too.
It really was. It really was. And I didn't see it until I actually had it connected with lines. And so.
Right. Well, as I mentioned at the outset, now you have the advantage of having studied business in college, but many journalists don't have that advantage. So here you are dealing with what must have been some fairly complex and sophisticated financial transactions. Any tips or ideas there about, you know, I've got this big stack of arcane financial documents and I'm trying to make sense out of whether this transaction was on the level or not?
Sure. A couple things that I did in this story, and I do most of the time, is make timelines so that you can spot inconsistencies. For example, when did the board approve a contract? When was it signed? When did work start? That helped me see that the district was internally referring to a contract being awarded to a certain vendor before the request for proposals had even closed. And I think that the timeline helped me with a lot of those sort of things. Another thing is to make spreadsheets to sort of fill in the blanks when you have incomplete information. For example, my information on board and administration spending came from invoices, credit card statements, purchase orders, expense reimbursements, all kinds of different source documents, and some of them were missing a date or a location or some other piece of information, but by putting everything together in the spreadsheet and then sorting it around in different ways, I was able to piece it together, show, you know, how much the board spent when it went off on a conference, stayed in an expensive hotel and ate filet mignon. Also, I'd say live with your documents. I was offered some help scanning them in and making the timeline, but I declined because I think that you need to be so familiar with the documents that you're going to notice all those little things that just don't seem right, like the same names popping up over and over or dates that seem off.
That's a great tip. Well, you mentioned one example of the credit card receipt. So can you give some other examples of types or categories of records that you found particularly useful and where you went to get those? In other words, what door did you knock on? What agency did you go to? Were there side doors that you went to when the front door wouldn't open?
Okay. Well, I think that no matter what beat you're covering, there are basic documents you should get, and these are the ones that I got first for Willamette ESD, and you know, some of them I knew I would find things and some of them I didn't. So directly from the source, I'd say get a list of contracts and vendors and then request the actual contracts that you're interested in. Get the agency's checkbook. That'll show you what they actually paid, which may be more or less than the contracted amount, and also invoice payments that aren't contracts. Get a list of all of the credit card holders and the billing statements, administration and board travel and meal expenses, employment contracts, a lease catalog of property, meeting minutes, budgets, and financial reports. All those I requested from the agency. And then other things I used in the story were previous state audits. And so in Oregon, those are online, but you can request them from your state. Lawsuits, which we subscribe to PACER and the state court database, but I still had to spend a lot of time down at the courthouse requesting files. And be sure to check bankruptcies. And also any documents that your sources hold. I was amazed how many documents I got from the people I interviewed when I remember just to ask if they had them.
Those are great. The one I really want to just go back over because it bears emphasizing and repeating is the checkbook for the agency. I don't think people normally think of that as something that they can ask for or even maybe remember to ask for it, but it's a very good point because there may be a difference between what the contract said you should pay and what you actually paid. So that's a great little verification technique.
Yeah.
That's a real good one. Well, just in the minute or two that we have remaining, anything at all by way of wrap-up for somebody who is sitting there and maybe like you, working a beat, has these tips, has a source that wants to point him in the right direction, but is looking ahead at 18 months of work mm-hmm. and thinking, this is overwhelming. How do I get started? How do I go about it?
Well, probably maybe just find a slice of it to start with. I think, you know, see what your options are out there, but then just pick a small part to start on and expand from there. The fact that I didn't really have a deadline, I think, and was trying to work on everything at once frustrated me because then I had gotten some reporting done on a lot of things and then had to throw it away. I would also say, you know, I was really surprised that so many current and former employees were willing to talk with me and share their documents, even though a lot of them were scared of risking their jobs. So I would say, you know, just try every avenue, even if you think there's little chance that you're going to get anything. Sometimes I thought, I'm wasting my time calling these people. They're not going to talk to me, but they did.
Terrific. Well, Tracy Lowe of the Statesman Journal and USA Today, I want to congratulate you on the many accolades your reporting is receiving, and thank you for sharing your expertise with our listeners today. Again, by way of reminder, Tracy Lowe's entire series, WESD's Web of Deals, can be found online through her newspaper's website, www.statesmanjournal.com. If you want to learn more about your entitlement to public records, take a minute to check out the Access Guides in the Know Your Rights section of the SPLC website, www.splc.org. We hope that you'll subscribe to the RSS feed for the SPLC's news alerts. You'll join the Student Press Law Center's group on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at SPLC. And if you're a student journalist or a journalism educator with any question about the law, call our hotline at 703-807-1904 or email us at splc@splc.org. Thanks for listening.